Let us lift up our voice and say, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary. Thank you.
If they would be silent, he said, I'll make the rocks cry. Oh, y'all didn't hear me this morning. I don't know, maybe you stayed up too late last night. Maybe you ain't feeling too good. You know, last week I wasn't feeling very well. But today I feel real good. And I just thank the Lord for an opportunity to come to the house of worship one more time. Amen, church. Our God is awesome. Pastor this morning is going to preach about we will be like him. We will be like him. Coming from 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. We're going to start at verse 1. 1 John chapter 3. If you're able to stand upon God's word, you may do so. 1 John chapter 3. Then go down to verse 1. 1 John chapter 3. I'll be reading from the New Living Translation. And if you're able to stand in honor of God's word, you may do so. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1. And it reads, see how very much our Father loves us. For he calls us his children. And that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like him, like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be like who? You with me? For we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure just as he is pure. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins, and there is no sin in him. Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. Amen, church. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer. O Lord our God, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. There is none like you. Lord, we just come to thank you, Lord. We come thanking you and giving you praise, Lord, for what you've already done, what you are about to do in this place. Lord, please bless this sanctuary this morning, Lord. Please touch from the front of the church all the way to the back, side to side, everywhere in this place, Lord. Right now, to help us just to forget about ourselves and just concentrate and focus on you, Lord. Let us just focus on your goodness, Lord. Let us just focus on your love, Heavenly Father, for we know that your faithful love endures forever, Lord. Lord, just help us, Lord, to have a mind to want to worship and serve you, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, Lord. We give you praise, Lord. We give you honor, Lord, for you're worthy of all the praises, the glory, and the honor, Heavenly Father. You said, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. And we've come to praise you this morning, Lord. Lord, please bless every song that will be sung. Please bless every prayer that will be prayed. Please bless the gospel of Jesus Christ that's going to go forth, that it changes us from the inside out, Lord. Let us be your people, Heavenly Father. Let us be the ones, Heavenly Father, who have come to give you praise and glory and honor, Lord. For we don't need a rock to cry out for us. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we magnify you. It's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we pray. Amen, church.
Amen.
I worship.
that they love Jesus? Oh, I wish I had a few more witnesses here. How many can testify that they love Jesus? Has he not been good to you? Has he not saved you? Rescued you? Redeemed your soul? Father, we just thank you. We thank you for your great mercy. We thank you for your love. And we thank you, Lord, for how you love us in such an amazing way. Now, Lord, speak, Lord, for your servants are listening. Father, we ask that you will truly bless us with your presence. Father, I ask that I might decrease so you may increase, that we might hear your word and that we might see Jesus. And have your word hidden in our heart that we might not sin against you. Father, transform us, break us, remold us into your image, and that we'll be more like you. Have thine own way, Lord, is our prayer. Amen. Amen. As we continue to worship our God, who loves us and who we love, you can join again with me in our New Testament. I'll be coming from John, the 3rd chapter. And as you turn there, I want to give us a little backdrop, but we're going to pick up in this letter in the 3rd chapter in the New Testament. We have 3 letters from John. And as we turn to this, as we are on our 3rd Sunday from the resurrection, you know, Jesus rose again. And him rising again, they experienced a new body, a glorious body that one day we all shall be changed and be like him. And so John, in writing this letter, is encouraging the church to know that he's a first-hand witness and seen and behold this great resurrected body. He opens up that in verse 1 through 2 of chapter 1. I'm going to read that, then we'll get into our text. It says, "We proclaim to you the one who existed from the beginning, whom we have heard and seen. We saw him with our own eyes and touched him with our own hands. He is the Word of life." Tell your neighbor, he's the Word of life. "This one who is it, life itself was revealed to us, and so we have seen him, and now we testify and proclaim to you that he is the one who is eternal life. He was with the Father, and then he was revealed to us." So this brings us to our text today, verses 1 through 3. I'm going to lift up in our reading of this 3rd chapter. It says, See how very much our Father loves us, for he calls us his children, and that is what we are. But the people who belong to this world don't recognize that we are God's children because they don't know him. Dear friends, we are already God's children, but he has not yet shown us what we will be like when Christ appears. But we do know that we will be what? Will be like him, for we will see him as he really is. And all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves pure, just as he is pure. Praise God for his word. You may be seated to take your seat. Encourage your neighbor with the subject matter. Tell him, we will be like him. I want to talk about today how we want to aim to live a life reflecting the Son of God as children of God the Father, so that we can be like him. Think about how John opens this up right there, saying, how great is God's love? Now, if you notice this theme here, right, the gospel according to John talks about, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. So we see the development about how great God's love is towards us. How great his love is, so that his love will shape us, his love will mold us, his love will transform us. Basically, what it's pointing out here, that your faith in Jesus will make you to be one with the Father. Faith in Jesus means I reflect him, and therefore I'm obedient according to his word. And when we put our faith in Jesus, Romans 8:15 tells us this way, that we have been adopted, that we have got the spirit of adoption. We call him Abba, and we call him Father. And so if we call him Father, then that makes us his children. And since he loves us and he makes us his children, catch this. So if you become a part of a family, definitely in the Roman Empire, you are entitled to that estate. Y'all don't hear me? Let me know what your daddy owns. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof. The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to the Lord. The silver and the gold belong to the Lord. And so when you know what God has and what God can do, you know that anything with God is amazing that can be done. And when we understand that I can trust in God, then nobody can stop what God is doing in our lives. And so we see how God loves us so much that he came out of heaven and came and clothed himself in flesh so that he can walk with us and die for us and became our sin offering. And so when we accept Jesus, then not only do we accept that he died on the cross for our sins, we accept that he redeemed us, but also then Jesus says that I will send you the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit of adoption now gives us the able to call him Father, lets us know that we received him. And so the same Spirit that's moving, same thing in John, Gospel of John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13 says, but all who believed in him, accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. And so the Spirit moves in an awesome way that we cannot be born of the flesh, but we got to be born of the Spirit. Therefore, we must be what? Born again. This amazing love of our God is expressed in the power of redemption, the power of our reconciliation, the power of our salvation, and the power that Christ expressed to us on the cross when he died on our sins. And this love that Jesus has for us moved him to die on the cross. And so if I say I love God, then my love for him should move me to die on the cross. I cannot be a disciple if I do not deny myself, pick up my cross, and follow after him. We know God the Father through God the Son. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man gets the Father what? But through me. And then Jesus went on to say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. And so in order for me to be his child, I got to get to know Jesus. And to get to know Jesus, I got to know his word. I got to know his studies. I got to spend some quality time with him. That's why I got to spend prayer. I got to be in his word. And I got to worship him and be around other brothers and sisters in Christ and encourage one another. And so the thing is this, that do you know Jesus? We know God through Jesus, and to know God is to fear him. To know God is to worship him. To know God is to serve him. To know God is to live for him. To know God is to obey his commands. Still in the same letter, 1 John 2nd chapter, verse 4, it says, if someone claims, I know God, but doesn't obey God's commandments, that person is a liar and is not living in the truth. The writer is pointing out that we got to make sure that our actions line up with our words. His love for us makes us a part of his family, so we need to act like we're a part of the family. And we understand this because John is pointing out that we want to obey his command. And John goes on talking about the same command that God has given. What Christ says, what? This command I give you. It's no new command. But what? Love your neighbor as you love yourself. And to be his child, we know we want to walk in right relationship with God. And since we know that Christ is righteous, we also know that we are to be righteous. That's why it goes in verse 3 of John 3rd chapter. I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 3, verse 3 says, and all who have this eager expectation will keep themselves what? Pure, just as he is pure. Another way Christ said it says, be holy for I am holy. God told the children of Israel when he sanctified them, to be sanctified is to be holy, to be set apart for a purpose of righteousness and holiness, that we got to make sure that our attitudes and our minds line up with what is right and what is pure. So therefore, we got to make sure that we got to guard our hearts and minds, that we don't stumble, that we don't fall, that we say, Lord, I'm trying to live right for you. We know we're all around that temptation is all around. The enemy is seeking whom he may devour. The enemy's trying to catch us. Jesus prayed for us and told us that beware your enemy trying to set snares and traps for you. But remember how he taught us in Matthew the 6th chapter how to pray. Lord, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And then now when we have the power of the Holy Spirit, we cite those scriptures, right? Be steadfast and be unmovable. Stand in the power of God's might. Put on the whole armor of God. And then we start quoting that. I know some of us start getting feeling real good about ourselves. I'm more than a conqueror. Then we start talking about how no weapon formed against me shall prosper. So we understand the power of God. But yet we got to be in Christ to be in the power. A lot of people are quoting these scriptures, but they're not in Christ.
So that they're not seeing the efficacy of it, because you got to be in to feel.
Come on, somebody.
Jesus wants us to be living wholly for Him. This is our daily task. Live for our God. Each and every day. We got to battle to allow the Spirit to win and for us to submit and surrender to the flesh. Some of us might be familiar with the song by Douglas Miller when he says that I've learned how to live holy. I learned how to live right. I've learned how to suffer. For if I suffer, I'll gain eternal life. And then he goes on and says, but when I see Jesus. And so it's pointing out that we got to suffer and endure and strive to live holy. It's not going to be, tell you that, it's not going to be easy. There's some things we got to let go. There's some people that we got to let go. There's some things that we got to change. That's what repentance is. It's a change of heart. It's a change of mind. It's a change of attitude that I'm no longer going to live for me, but I'm going to live for Him because I want to be like Him. So here's when we're talking about what it means to be like Him. There's two emphases that this writer, John, is telling us about how we want to be like Him. The first part is our moral and our ethical lifestyle. That's what we're talking about, being pure and being righteous. You know, our God is holy, and so we ought to strive to be holy. Now, here's the difference between us and God. God has never sinned. So He stays holy. We go in and out. We be good for a second. The next second, we might not be so good. But here's what is always good. The blood. It still works. And so since Christ died on the cross for our sins, we know forgiveness. We know grace. We know mercy. We all know we all sin and fall short of the glory of God. We know the wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And since we understand that Jesus did all this for us, how much more now we can confess and we can repent and embrace His grace and His mercy in our lives. And so therefore now we want to seek His kingdom and have kingdom pursuit. We want to pursue what is holy, pursue what is righteous. So we got to keep our minds stayed on Jesus. The text says He'll keep you in perfect peace, those that keep their minds stayed on Him. Let me help somebody out today. If you're not having peace, my question is, what's your mind stayed on? If your mind is stayed on Him, He's going to give you peace because He's the Prince of Peace. He's going to help you to realize that I was about to say something that might stir some stuff up. But I put my mind on Him, I was able to keep my mouth quiet. I was able to have some scripture come back to me to be slow to anger, be slow to speak, and quick to listen. Thank you, Jesus. I was able to realize that a harsh word stirs up anger, but a gentle answer turns away wrath. I understand how to turn the other cheek. When I keep my mind stayed on Jesus, I'll be reminded, Father, forgive me as I forgive those who trespass against me. Wait a minute, hold on, rewind that. Father, forgive me as I forgive those. Oh, I got to forgive somebody. I got to let it go. I got to stop holding grudge. Oh, love keeps no record of wrong. Love endures all things, hopes all things. Love never fails. See, when I keep my mind on Jesus, when troubles and adversities come my way, I realize that Jesus says I'm more than a conqueror. How is it that I'm more than a conqueror? Well, first, I'm in Him. And since I'm in Him and He's already defeated death and we have victory, then I've already won. So I'm going through some hardship. I'm going through some trial. I'm going through some tribulations. But yet, everything's going to be all right because God is still able. He is holy. And we have to have our mind on holy things. We need to remove those distractions, stay in prayer, and stay in focus, so that we don't stumble and fall. Hebrews says it too, that we run in such a cloud of witness. So let's remove the sin that easily entangles us and cause us to stumble and fall, so that we can run with endurance. And here's the beautiful thing, that when we are running with endurance, and many of you, if you've been to a track event, that they clear the track. They make sure that it's even and clean for the people to run, so that they don't injure themselves, right? There's nothing worse than them stepping down and they hurt their ankles and they can't complete the race because the track's not finished. And look, notice what the Bible tells in Proverbs. It says, trust in the Lord in all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding in all your ways. And He will what? direct your path. New Living Translation says he'll make a crooked path straight, which means that God's going to make sure you got sure foot. I was at a few more witnesses here. That you won't stumble, you won't fall when you're walking on his word. I had a few witnesses on me. Maybe somebody might jump on with me. Remember, Peter walked on water. How did he walk on water? Because he walked on the word of Jesus. He said, if you say come, I'll come. He said, come. What was liquid became solid. Somehow he was able to hold himself up and walk on the word of Jesus. I want to encourage you right now, when we're trusting God, you can do something. Come on, somebody. So life in Christ is a life seeking holiness and doing all things that God calls us to. Act, we got to act like we know the Lord. We got to live like we know the Lord. And so this is the part about to be like him, that we got to act like him, that when people recognize us, they can see, I can tell there's something different about you. Because we are in this world, but we are not of this world. We want to be of kingdom mindset. We want to do what is holy. We want to do what's righteous. We want to try to check that first thought to make sure, God, is this your will? We want to make sure that we don't give in to our desires, but say, Lord, what is your desire? And so when we're understanding what God wants us to do, that's when we're wrestling and realizing that I got to do what is right and what is good for him. Because what's good for him is always going to be good. But now notice what he points out here, that not only do we got to wrestle with what is good. Look at chapter 3, verse 4 through 5. Everyone who sins is breaking God's law. For all sin is contrary to the law of God. And you know that Jesus came to take away our sins. And there's what? No sin in him. And now this letter is kind of helped them out to point out that though Jesus was fully man and fully God, and he looked like us, and we were able to touch him and be with him, and yet he did not sin. He knew no sin, but he took on our sin. He became our sin offering. We put all our shame, all our guilt, all our pain on him. That's why he cried out, Father, why have thou forsaken? When he cried out that means that he understood separation, so that we won't have to understand separation. To suffer death is to be out of the presence of God. And yet notice God loves us so much that he wants us to be where? With him. That's why we want to be like him. We're waiting to be like him. So while we're waiting to be fully like him, while we're down here, we can be like him through the Holy Spirit. That we can walk with him. We can communicate with him. And we realize that we're no longer slaves to the power of sin, because Jesus has given us this victory. So let us walk in his power. Let us walk in his purpose. Live to know Christ and live to know the joy of salvation, the joy of redemption, and walk in his amazing love. Then the second part of how we're going to be like him is that because we're abiding in him, and this is echoed again because Jesus said this in the 15th chapter, you abide in me and I will abide in you. And that's what is echoed here in 3 and 4 and 5. So everyone who sins is breaking God's law, for all sins contrary to the law of God. So if you're not in Jesus, then you're out. But if you're in Jesus, then you're doing what is of him and like him. But if you're not of him, then you are off. And so Jesus will take off those branches that are not of him, not grafted in. So we got to make sure that we're being about our Father's business. So anyone who continues to live in sin, who do live in him, verse 6, will not sin. Y'all see that there? Anyone who continues to live in him will not sin. But anyone who keeps on sinning does not know him or understand who he is. Dear children, don't let anyone deceive you about this. When people do what is right, it shows that they are righteous, even as Christ is righteous. So if we're going to abide in him, then we got to fully trust him and obey his commandments. Do what he calls us to do. To be like him in our ethical and our moral sense, we want to do things that honor God and reflect his commandments and reflect his purpose in our lives. And so that's the first part. Our moral and our ethical life wants to be like him. The second part is that it says that we don't know what we'll be like, but we'll be like him. Now remember, the author pointed out that we've seen him, we touched him, we felt him, we've been with him. And what he's pointing out to them is that we saw him pre-resurrection, we saw him post-resurrection. And when they saw him post-resurrection, I want you to understand, remember, they were scared. They were fearing for their lives, so they were behind locked doors, hiding, make sure nobody tried to come and get us. And it says Jesus appeared in the room. When it says he appeared in the room, mean nobody went to the door to let him in. He just showed up in the room. First time he did it, says Thomas wasn't there. And so they told Thomas, hey, we saw Jesus. Thomas said, well, I don't believe it. I won't believe it unless I can stick my hand in his side and see the nails in his hands. Well, you know, Jesus heard all that, and he showed up again. And he says, here you go, Thomas. Thomas didn't have to put his hand in the side, but it just said he just fell down and worshiped and said, I believe. So what I highlight here is that the one who was pierced, the one who died for us and our sins, comes back with those same marks and scars, but yet his body was able to reappear and disappear. Matter of fact, later on it says he cooked breakfast for them. He's able to eat with them and break bread with them. And so this new body we're going to have, that we're going to be, you know, oftentimes we ask, well, what are we going to be able to have? Well, so at least know we're going to be able to eat. I know we're going to be at the wedding supper. I know we're going to be able to touch, because Jesus was able to touch and be touched. We're going to be able to speak. We're going to be able to feel and have emotions. And I'm going to try this out. Will I be able to reappear and disappear? I'm going to try to find that out too. But here's the thing, that we won't be like him. He transformed us so that we can be like him. That's why this mortal body must put on immortality. I can't stay to where I am and see him. But when I see him, amen. Because we know Jesus is coming back again. And while he is coming back again, we got our challenge and our duties to let everybody know that he defeated the grave. He did rise on the third day. And here's our encouragement to let them know that even though we're facing times that at least that seem insurmountable and it might seem adverse and hard and difficult and detrimental, but yet know that this is not the end. Tell you, this is not the end. Because we allow this world to be everything to us, but there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And when we get that new heaven and new earth, there's going to be a new body. And this new body is going to be able to experience some things that we have not experienced before, but also it's going to remove our sin sickness and our sin stains, and we'll be made holy. Here's another thing I like about how we're going to be like him. The angels don't know. The angels don't know what it means to be redeemed. There's some angels going to be thrown into the second death with the devil and the beast, because they done messed up. He said, y'all, that's a wrap for y'all, so that's y'all destination. But yet he said Christ came so that we would not die, but have what? Life. And so he wants us to repent. He wants us to change and be holy for his name's sake. And so when we think about how we want to pursue what is holy, we want to pursue what is righteous, as we wait on Christ's return. Sit with me in 1 John 2nd chapter now, verse 9 to 11. Says, if anyone claims, I'm living in the light, but hates a fellow believer, that person is still living in darkness. Anyone who loves a fellow believer is living in the light and does not cause others to stumble. But anyone who hates a fellow believer is still living and walking in what? Darkness. Such a person does not know the way to go, having been blinded by the darkness. So when we look at it, he's saying that for God so loved us, right? So he moves in chapter 3, for God loved us in this way, that he wants us to be pure, he wants us to be holy, that we want to walk in the light and not in the darkness. We want to obey his commandments and show others what it means to live holy and righteous for him, so that we can be like him. I want to encourage us that though we're going to mess up, there's nobody right here perfect. We are not holy because our works. We are holy because of the works of Christ. What makes us holy, what makes us redeemed, is that we have been covered by the blood of the Lamb. If you confess Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you believe he died on the cross for your sins, and he defeated death and rose from the grave on the third day, and we now know that he's exalted and seated at the right hand of the Father. By believing in that, you have now said, Lord, I believe you. Then what's next step is part is that what's my response? I no longer live for me, but I live for the one who died for me, the one who set me free, the one who bled for me, the one who delivered me. That's why we like that song. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. We understand that I know it's not by my might, not by my strength, but it's by grace I have been saved. It's a gift of God. So I can't brag, I can't boast about it, but I can brag about my God. I can talk about how great is his love towards me, how wonderful his mercy is towards me, how great is thy faithfulness. That each morning I see brand new mercy. Anybody here glad for brand new mercy? Because I know for what I how I live, I don't deserve what I'm receiving. But God is so good, he treats us better than we deserve. Think about how he loves us. So let us stay faithful. Let us stay faithful. Remember, Jesus told the parable about the talents. And those who came back, he gave them a common right. Well done, my good and faithful servant. What I want to encourage you is that you got to work till he comes back. There's sometimes we might mess up. There's sometimes we might fall down, but you can get back up. And how do I know we can get back up? Well, Christ got up. And so if he's up, then look up. And look at his what comes to your help. All your help where? Comes from the Lord. You may not get it from somebody sitting next to you, and that's all right, because they have limited power. But we got a God that has power that's beyond understanding. And that's why Romans says the same power that rose Christ from the grave is also in you. And so when you call on that same power, it's that same power that helps you to say no and say, devil, get out of my way. It's the same power that will encourage you to go through times of trials and tribulations in your life. Some of y'all have been there before, that you got that message from the doctor. You got the message from a family member. You hit a dark time. You hit a hard time. Didn't know how you were going to make it. But yet you look at yourself now, I'm still here. Because it was by God's grace and because of his mercy. He treats us better than we deserve because he wants us to be like him. I'm so glad that God has not done working on us yet. I'm done preaching now, but let me tell you a little story about a sculptor that used to make things out of stone. They asked the sculptor, how did you make such wonderful creatures out of the stone? He says, I take what is not of that creature. If I'm going to make a horse, I take away what is not a horse. If I'm going to make a bird, I'm going to take away what is not a bird. I'm so glad that God's looking at us and we are some messed up stones. But God said, I'm going to make you look like me. I'm going to take away the things that are not like me. And then he's going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. Good day now, too, but on your way home, you ought to tell somebody, I want to be like him. That means, Father, you are the artist. You are the potter. I am the canvas. You are the clay. Mold me in your own way. Shape me in your own way. I want to be like you. There's some things in there we just say, Lord, I just got to be still and let you do your work. And he's going to mold us and shape. And I'm going to tell you this. That it never stops until he comes back. So keep on working. Keep on encouraging him. Tell him, keep on working. God is working in us. He's working through us. And he's going to make us like him. Let us pray. Father, we just thank you that you are our awesome God. That you see all our issues, all our insecurities, all our faults. And you love us in such an awesome and amazing way. Oh, Father, search our hearts, search our minds as we lay them down before you. Father, we want more of you. Lord, take anything and everything that is not of you and fill us up, Lord, with more of your power, more of your love, more of your grace, more of your mercy, more of your presence. Oh, Father, we just want you to speak, oh God, in the service of us and draw us closer, Lord, into thy presence. And Father, may you be glorified, may you be magnified with all that is said and that is done. And help us, oh God, to surrender to your will, that we be more like you, be your disciples, walking on people's according to your will. For Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. We want to open up the time of prayer and corporate prayer, amen, and pray with one another. You may be standing, you want to grab the hand next to you, we just want to continue to meditate and surrender to our God as we sing, I love you. I love you. I love you, Lord, today.
Father, we ask you to bless those who are going through. We lift up our sick and shut into your mighty God. We pray for those, Lord, who are in hospitals, Lord, in hospice care and going through physical therapy. And Father, we ask your comfort to be with those who are still recovering from grief and loss, oh God. Father, continue to give them peace and comfort and continue to bless the church. Surround them and comfort them, Almighty God, in their time of need. And Father, Lord, we thank you for those who are gathered here today and maybe looking for a church home. Lord, we thank you that you had on daily such a church that such should be said. So, Father, this is place, Almighty God, we ask you to bless Zion to be a place of growth and disciple them that they may grow to be the mighty men and women of God you called them to be. And now, Father, we ask you to continue to search our hearts, search our minds. Oh, God, draw us closer to thy presence. Lord, we want to be more like you. And Father, we need more of you in our lives, oh God. So help us, oh God, remove those distractions. Remove those things that hindered us and caused us to stumble and fall. That we might walk in righteousness, walk in holiness, and walk rightly before you. And now, Father, as we continue on in worship, we prepare the glory to give you your tithes and our offering. Thank you, Almighty God, how you add on to us daily. And we thank you, Lord, that you supply our every need. We ask you, bless us, Lord, a desire to give, but yet have not. We thank you, Lord, that you are able to supply our every needs, and you are our great provider and protector. So bless us, Lord, we cheerfully and wonderfully give to you what already belongs to you, that it be used for your kingdom and for the edification of your church. In Jesus Christ's name, Lord, we pray. Amen. 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 You may be seated, ask your following instructions of the ushers. So this is the second Sunday. It's not usher boys coming up. It will be at Mount Zion Baptist Church. So it will be a special pray for that. And then also, one more moment, too. And then, God, well, before we do our offer, I have an announcement from Pastor Price.
Amen, church.
Amen.
Wanted to announce to the church that my wife and I will be relocating to Tennessee.
Amen.
Amen. So we want to let the church know. Looks like it'll be pretty quickly here. We'll be relocating. So by the weekend, you know, we plan to go down because my wife actually starts work on Saturday.
All right.
So we're gonna go down this week. You know, looking for a home down there. So you know, Muffy lives down there in the Memphis area. So we're going to relocate closer to our daughter and the grandkids down there. I'll kind of be back and forth, so you might see me show up, you know, until we get the house sold and get everything taken care of so that we can, you know, prepare for the relocation. So I want to thank Zion for all the years I've been here. I was talking to my brother last night. I said, you know, I've been at Zion about as long as I've been in Peoria. So it's been about 30-something years that I've been here. So, you know, we've seen a lot of pastors come and go. You know, I came here, it was Pastor Cleo Grand. Then we had Reverend Hart. Now we have our Pastor Sam. Amen. And through all that learning and education, you know, I taught Sunday school for many, many years, so I can say that Zion gave me my start on teaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I started with the kids, and then they let me graduate on up to the adults. But through it all, you know, Zion is a church that has shown great love and compassion to me and my family. And I thank you for all your prayers, everything you've done for us all throughout the year, and all the friends that I've made, brothers and sisters in Christ, that I've gotten to know throughout the year. So, church, we thank you. Thank you for what you've done, and it's been an honor to serve here at Zion Baptist Church. This will always be my home. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And so with that said, we want to have a tray up here too with a little special love offering to bless Pastor Price and Sister Cheryl Price. Amen. As you prepare to be, get some extra love on them grandkids down there. Praise God for that. Amen. And so we just want to let them know we appreciate him. So as I said, he could be coming back with us, but he don't know. So we know you take the opportunity to make sure we greet them and love on them. And so we see them again. Amen. Amen. Yes, ma'am. Oh, okay. Yeah, we're going to lift up Terrell. Amen. He lost his mom on Thursday. Amen. So we're going to lift up our brother Terrell. Mighty God, we just ask you to continue to comfort Terrell and be with the family, Lord. And we ask you for your healing, your grace, your mercy be with him. In Jesus' name, Lord, we pray. Amen. Thank you, Sister Christ. Amen. Father, and Sister Choir. Rosemary's going to hold the love offering tray for those who have been able to give. Amen. A blessing to pass across. Blessed Zion to be together. Amen. Within the community. And, Now, that's a long time. That's a long time. And so for those who are able to give, or whatever you can give, you give $1, that'd be great too. For whatever you can donate, help us celebrate our church anniversary. And with that, on Saturday, April 20th from 11 to 1:30 p.m., we'll have our church spring cleanup. Then I also want to share Bishop Joe Johnson's celebrating his retirement. And on Friday, April 26th, John's looking to go there to help celebrate and get some words of encouragement to Bishop Joe Johnson to celebrate his years of service. And then that Sunday, that's when we'll be here at Zion. And early that morning, 10 a.m., Beth United Methodist Church Pastor Tyson Parks is going to come. And they're going to join us in worship with their church and their music ministry. And we want to celebrate Zion's 145th church anniversary together with our sister church. We praise God for them accepting that invitation. And we're going to come in together and celebrate. And then I want to reiterate again, this is the second Sunday. And so United Usher will be at Mount Zion Baptist Church. And I'm saying that because there are new pastors in town. And so it's an opportunity for us to go and maybe meet and greet and meet the new pastor there at Mount Zion Baptist Church. I have not met him, don't know him either myself, so I'm looking to introduce myself and welcome him into our community. All right, I have some acknowledgments I want to read. It says, thank you so much. It's hard to put into words how grateful I am. I only hope you know just how much I mean when I say thank you for everything. We are grateful for the love shown by the members of Zion during the passing of my sister. We received many cards and flowers. We believe that the way of love will always be Zion's way. Yours in Christ, Ed and Ellen Hearn. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So I want to encourage us too, as we prepare to get our benediction doxology, that if y'all can't get an opportunity to come and love on Pastor Sister and Sister Price, amen. And you can give them a fist bump, a elbow bump, and let them know, you know, we appreciate them. Amen. And so hoping we come back again, we can celebrate with him. But amen, we want to pray for safe traveling, grace and mercy on them. Amen. Amen. Let us pray like that right now. Father, we just ask for your blessing. We pray for your good favor of finding a good home. We ask you to continue to bless a great start and a new job for Sister Price, Almighty God, this weekend. We just pray, bless her going out and her coming back. And we just pray that you can move things, all things well. And we're just trusting you to move at your pace. And we ask you to help us to be there, support them in this transition, we pray. Amen. 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 Let us stand prepared for the benediction.
want to be like him.